This is Haystack Help Radio on KLZ 560. Haystack Help Radio is powered by HaystackHelp.com. Finding help can be like finding a needle in a haystack. But with HaystackHelp.com, finding the needle just got easier. Now, Haystack Help Radio with Scott Watley on KLZ 560.
Good afternoon and welcome to Haystack Help Radio. Thank you so much for joining us today. A little less wind out there, Kurt.
Just a little.
But not much.
I saw a little thing on, Facebook, where they were saying the wind in Denver, and it showed the Wicked Witch of the West hanging onto a fence in the Wizard of Oz and just kind of hanging out there, and the wind's blowing by.
Exactly.
That's pretty close.
Wow. Yeah, I had to pick up a friend last night that was flying in from Idaho, and the flight was a couple hours late. Because I guess you can probably only use a certain number of runways when the wind's blowing that much out there.
So,
were delayed out there. But anyway, the beautiful day, and I think we're going to be getting some higher temperatures here in the next couple of days.
Supposed to be getting into the 60s.
Yep, that'll be great. Again, this is Haystack Help Radio and a special edition of Your Money Matters, brought to you by Affordable Interest Mortgage, your one-stop shop for all your mortgage needs. So, Kurt, before we get into our guest today, let's talk a little bit about things on your side. So, you know, with the average home price now being above $100,000, how do you think this is going to affect the housing sales?
I firmly believe that it will affect them. And what's started to change, and we're seeing a little bit, everybody knows the rates have gone up a little bit. But since in February of this year, the report just came out that we have over 4,200 homes available. Now, that's not enough to meet the demand. We need to be up around 15,000. But at 4,200, that's an 18% increase from last year on the availability of homes. First-time home buyers, it's going to be a lot more difficult for them to try to get a home, because as the average price goes up, so does the first-time home buyer home, the starter homes. They're going to go from 150 to 2 to 250 to 3. Everything's going to start to move up. And we don't have enough support staff homes for them to live in. That's the biggest thing. The lower-income homes, we don't have them. So people can't afford to stay here. So when that stops, when the demand starts to slow down, the prices have to slow down.
Right.
So $500,000, most of us don't live in that type of home. I mean, at least I wouldn't pay $500 for my house if somebody said that that's what they want to give me. It ain't worth it to me.
Exactly. Now, I understand they raised the conforming loan limit to $453,100.
Yes. Now, in 2017, it was $423,000. They raised it to $453,000, figuring they'd catch up and make all of that work. Well, that's a beautiful thing, but actually what you're seeing, I now have a lender that will take a loan for $679,500 and do it at conforming rates, whether it's a purchase or a refi. So it's because of home prices going up, they have to be able to raise it. Otherwise, you have to start dealing in jumbo rates, and those jumbo rates are normally 3/8 to a half higher, and now all of a sudden you can't qualify. Even if you're looking at a house that's $600,000-$700,000, which is just a little bit above average.
Sure.
The average person can't get into that house.
Right.
So it's starting to make it a lot more difficult. This company has just come out at the 679.5, and they'll actually go to 90%. They'll let you do an 80% first with a 10% second, and that's something you normally can't do on a jumbo loan.
So that's quite a bit of
that's a huge. That's
huge
100
deal for a good
that's $120,000-$130,000 above the standard rates. You can do a high balance loan for 5.25. They're going to 679.
Wow.
At some of the lower rates, which really allows it to work to where people can afford to buy those homes. So that's going to kind of help. But our big problem is we still don't have enough of the starter homes, the 250 to 350 range. They're just not there.
And you guys have a lot of down payment assistance programs, self-employed people, all that.
If you're self-employed, I just use bank statements. I have loans with as little as $1,000 down or 1% and no mortgage insurance. Now, mortgage insurance used to be tax-deductible. It's not anymore. So, especially with the tax laws, if you can get away from it, you want to get away from it.
Right.
So, we have loans. They're coming out with the loans to make it work as these prices go up, but I think you're going to see them settle. Last year, homes appreciated at 6.9%. I think you're actually going to see them appreciate maybe 2 or 3 this year.
Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. Once again, they can help you with any of your mortgage questions. Give Kurt and his crew a call, and they'll fix you up. Their website is aimortgage.net. Well, Kurt, tell us about our guest today.
Well, I've been working on this young man to be on the show for quite a while because I've been told a lot of good things about him, but he is such a busy man. We feel very honored that Bob Baker, fire chief for the South Metro Fire Rescue, is going to be on the show. We really appreciate you taking the time to be here.
Thanks, Scott and Kurt. It's a pleasure to be here with you.
You know, firemen, let's just face it. Yeah. Every kid in the world growing up
wants to be a fireman.
Fireman's probably one of the first things, right?
Yeah. Right now, that's true. Want to be a fireman.
Absolutely. So, Bob, thanks for being with us. Let's start out before we get into some of our topic today with you. Take a minute and just kind of tell us a little about you, your background, and were you a little kid always wanting to be a fireman?
Sure. Yeah, I probably was. My dad was a firefighter, so I'm second-generation firefighter. My son Robert's on the job, been on the job for about 10 years. You'll find that's typical. Firefighting kind of is in folks' families. And so I grew up in Flint, Michigan. It's a great place to be from. I'm really glad to be here in Colorado. I grew up in Flint, Michigan, and my dad retired from the Flint, Michigan Fire Department as an engineer. And so in 1982, got married, and a week later, we packed everything we owned up in a little old Starfire and drove out west. No jobs. We had a little bit of money in a bank account and a lot of dreams. So that was almost, 36 years ago, and I've been married that long. And my wife and I moved to Colorado and looked for a job in the fire service, and I was blessed to find a job at Parker Fire back in 1984. And then Parker Fire merged with South Metro in 2008, and I've been with South Metro since. So been in the fire service going on 34 years now.
I used to live in Parker.
Did you?
Back in 84.
Did you really?
Yes, I did.
Where at?
When it was I was out about 7 miles off of Main Street.
Oh, okay. I'm out about 5 miles out.
Had a couple acres.
Yep.
That's why I moved to Colorado from Florida. It was kind of nice.
It's beautiful area.
Two-lane road going down there.
Yeah, everything's changed a lot since 1984, hasn't it?
Quite a bit.
What's that golf course that's down there about 7 miles, 8 miles down Main Street? I cannot remember.
What's it called?
You're talking about the Bear or the Canterbury Golf Course?
Canterbury, yeah.
Canterbury.
Now, because I lived out there for a while. Right beside, I could see that Canterbury Golf Course from a buddy of mine was a Denver cop. I had a house out there, and I rented it from him for a while and lived out there, but last time I was down there, it changed immensely.
Yeah, it's a lot larger.
Yeah, absolutely. So, when we talk about South Metro, what's kind of the area that your department is over then?
Metro. So, South Metro covers, it's 8 different municipalities across 2 different counties and about 185-ish square miles. So, we cover the towns of Parker, Foxfield, portions of Centennial, almost all of Greenwood Village, Castle Pines, Cherry Hills Village. So a pretty large area. We go west all the way to just about Chatfield Reservoir. North, we border with Denver and Aurora, and to the south with Castle Rock. To the east of the Douglas-Elbert County line, so Delbert Road.
That's rather large and a lot of open space.
There's a lot of open space. It's a really interesting demographic to serve because there's rural, there's urban, there's suburban areas. We cover Centennial Airport. We cover light rail, heavy rail, a couple of different reservoirs. So there's a lot of risk there and a varied sort of response, which makes the job interesting.
How many firemen, firewomen do you have working? 185 square miles, you said. How many do you have working?
So right now we've got about 360. But we're in the process of unifying with 2 other fire departments. Actually, we just unified with Cunningham Fire Protection District in January. And we're working with Littleton Fire Protection District and Highlands Ranch Metro District and also the city of Littleton to put together a full unification. And that would serve about 500,000 people over more than 300 square miles. And there would be about 550 to 600 firefighters.
Is that enough?
That's a lot.
That's a lot.
That's a lot.
But is that enough to cover that area?
Yes and no. So it's enough for right now. But you folks know the
South, you get into fire
South,
season.
Yeah, the South Denver metro area is growing in leaps and bounds. And so we also cover the Laveers area. Sterling Ranch is going in with more than 10,000 homes. There's a lot of growth in Lone Tree. The light rail spur will be opening up on the east side of I-25, and the city center will be going in there, and the town of Parker is still growing. And so that's our big, that's one of our big challenges, is keeping up with growth.
So is Sedalia part of?
We don't cover Sedalia, okay. but we are mutual aid and automatic aid into Sedalia. So most fire departments have an agreement with the neighboring jurisdictions to help out on large fires. For example, we were just out to the east in, I think it was Kiowa
at
the big brush fire.
Yeah.
And where folks unfortunately lost some homes.
Wow.
How long have you been chief?
So I've been chief for about 3.5 years.
Okay. And you've been doing it for 35?
34 years.
34.
Mm-hmm.
Not bad. You worked your way all the way up from?
I did. I started off as a firefighter back in Parker when we had one street light in the entire town of Parker.
Yep.
And most roads were dirt. And I think the whole fire department at the time had 15 members. So we have more people at a single station, some of our stations, than we had on
the
my
whole
entire
area.
Shift. Yeah. Mm. I worked up my way up through the ranks, lieutenant and battalion chief, and was training officer for a while, admin chief, and operations chief, and then most recently the fire chief.
Right. Now, is it hard to get on fire department? You hear that quite a bit over the, you know, I mean, for 20 years, I've heard that. It is almost impossible to get on. Any tips to any people that want to get into this, how to get on?
Sure. I tell people, probably my biggest piece of advice to them is to be persistent. Sometimes it's not your physical ability or your intellectual capacity, some of your other gifts. It's the gift of persistence. A lot of people test for fire departments once or twice, and then they give up. And there's an awful lot of people that never make it just because they didn't stick with it. And coincidentally, that's a pretty important quality for a firefighter is yeah. being
tenacity. I don't want a quitter coming to my fire, right?
Tenacity.
Yes, you want tenacity.
Now, is there a requirement for education? There's a physical requirement. They have to mm-hmm. be able to do things, but educational requirements.
So we have an educational requirement that's just a high school diploma or GED to get hired on. But our department has educational requirements for every promoted position in the organization. So in order to be a lieutenant, you have to have an associate's degree. In order to be a battalion chief, you have to have a bachelor's degree. In order to be the fire chief, you have to have a master's degree. We've got several people with their PhDs on the fire department. Education is real important to us. Part of the reason for that is the communities that we serve, education is important to them. So if you talk with folks in Greenwood Village or Lone Tree City of Centennial, they'll talk to you about we serve a very educated populace, and frankly, the job of the firefighter has changed so much over the last 30 or 40 years. It's not a blue collar job anymore. It takes folks with a lot of education and experience and training, and it's necessary to be able to do the job now today. So be pretty well educated.
If you were asked my wife what a requirement is, she'll say you have to be good looking or you can't be a fireman. Because she says she's never seen one that isn't good looking.
Well, I might be the exception to the rule.
No. Well, you're married, right?
For radio, right?
No, we won't go there. This is radio, so we're fine. But one of our neighbors, you know, would have medical problems. She never had a problem calling the fire department because she said they're always good looking when they come over.
Eight guys come running in, right?
Yeah, she's fine.
Again, you're listening to Haystack Help Radio in a very special edition, really, of Your Money Matters. Most of the time we deal a lot with financial issues and local companies, but, you know, just our climate that we're in. Kurt, good job on setting this up because, you know, I think we need to be a lot more thankful for, you know, certainly our police, first responders, fire departments, and all that. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Bob, let's talk a little bit about what we could do as citizens to be of more help to the fire department. So we'll talk about traffic. We can talk about, you know, what we can do, just being more careful around our homes and things, and, you know, with fire hazards and building fires out camping, because that season will be coming up again soon. So let's talk about that when we come back.
Perfect.
We'll be right back.
What could you do with an extra $500, $1,000, or even $1,500 per month? How would that change things for you? Would you buy a new car, pay off bills, or just feel a bit more secure about your retirement? What if I told you there's a way to make your dreams a reality? I'm talking about trading and investing in the market. Now, before you say, oh, that's not for me, just hear me out. I want to invite you to a half-day trading course so you can check this out. I promise you, you'll go away smarter than when you came in. We here at Online Trading Academy sponsor this, and we'll even send you home with a free home study video guide. Your money's doing nothing for you in a CD or mutual fund. Learn how to profit when the market's up or down. Call us now while seats are still available at 303-325-2776. Use offer code RADIO50. 303-325-2776. That's 303-325-2776.
Tired of being forgotten, disrespected, and not listened to when applying for a mortgage? Do you always get someone new when checking your loan status? Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. We have been serving Colorado since 2001. We are closing loans in 13 to 15 days. We offer paperless applications, ability to view your loan status 24/7, loans designed to fit your needs, not the bank's, with customized terms, whether purchase or refinance, all at low rates. Take AIM for quick pre-approvals, cash out to pay off high credit card debt, and see how hundreds of our clients are saving thousands in excess interest and payments, all while owning their home faster. Find out how. Call now, 720-895-0500, and talk to your personalized mortgage professional from start to finish. 720-895-0500. That's 720-895-0500, where it is all about you. Regulated by DOR, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center offers KLZ listeners complete pet care services every day, all at one location. It's so much more than a clinic and so convenient. Their expert staff is always happy to help your pet have the happy and healthy life it deserves. Schedule a medical checkup for your beloved companion or take the first step toward a better behaved buddy by signing your pup up for obedience training. Did you know that if your sweet kitty needs grooming, Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center is one of the few facilities that offers grooming for both dogs and cats. And if you're planning a vacation, Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center offers boarding for dogs, cats, and other small pets so you can take your vacation without worry, knowing that your four-legged family member's home away from home has a fully equipped medical center on site. Learn more about Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center at LoneTreeVet.com or call 303-708-8050.
Need a new pickup? Lynn Lyle Chevrolet is having a Silverado year-end clearance sale with Silverado starting at just $26,900. Lynn Lyle Chevrolet always has the lowest prices. Lynn Lyle Chevrolet, I-225 in East Colfax or on the web at LynnLyleChevy.com.
Rush to Reason with John Rush, weekdays from 3 to 7 on KLZ 560.
Welcome back to Haystack Help Radio. My name is Scott Watley. If you're just joining us, joined along with Kurt Rogers from Affordable Interest Mortgage. Once again, Kurt and his crew can help you out with any of your mortgage needs, 720-895-0500. Very special guest today, Bob Baker. And Bob's a fire chief with South Metro Fire and Rescue. And just getting to know a little bit more, about the fire department, all that's involved in their jobs and all. But first of all, let's go to the phones. We've got Bruce on the line. Bruce, you're on Haystack Help Radio. How are you, sir?
Hey, gentlemen. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
You bet.
I have a very difficult question, and I know it could offend some people, and I don't want to do that. But if we're going to be honest about our government, we need to do that.
Okay.
If we have so many people wanting to be firefighters, aren't we paying firefighters too much?
So I think that's a good question and a fair question. There's an awful lot of people that want to be NFL football players too, but they get paid a lot of money, and there are not a lot of people that actually make it into the NFL. So we have a lot of people interested in being firefighters, but not a whole lot of people that end up being qualified to be firefighters. It's a tough job. It's more than just a job, it's a career. So I'll give you an example of how I feel about firefighters' pay. And a starting firefighter at South Metro makes about $58,000 a year. So my dad passed away from various diseases, I believe related to his service in the fire department for 25 years in a pretty industrial area of Flint, Michigan. And at 69 years old, I think he was the last one of any of the folks that I remember that grew up with him in the fire service. Most of them had passed away years before. So one of the things people don't realize probably is that firefighters have a lot higher rate of cardiovascular disease. They have a much higher rate of many different forms of cancer. I'm sure you're probably aware that we've got presumptive cancer legislation. In Colorado, presumptive cardiac legislation in Colorado, and that's because the chances of passing away from either one of those in the fire service are a lot greater than the general population. We also have a considerably higher rate of suicide, post-traumatic stress, depression. So the idea that being a firefighter is easy, or that there are there's so many people out there, anyone can do it, really isn't all that accurate. It's a tough job. And to make it a career for 30 years takes a tremendous toll on our folks. More than 50% of the folks that retire out of South Metro don't retire on their own terms. They retire as a result of a disability or some other issue that precludes them from doing the job that they love.
And so after saying all those things, wouldn't that argue more that if this is a burden, shouldn't we not have them be career people? Shouldn't we really limit their time in the service? Because this is a service. This is a service to the public. That's the fundamental part of it, a service to the public. Shouldn't we limit it to 5 years and then you're gone? And we get new people, and they'll each take a smaller part of the burden, a smaller part of the risk, and then it would be open to a lot more people.
Well, I'm just a citizen. I'm just one of the people on the show, and I'll let him answer that question. Wouldn't I say that about politicians? We have too many politicians doing the same thing Let me finish. I let you finish. Would I not want to say that to a politician who's a career politician? Why don't we put terms on them? Because they are there as a public service. They're there to provide a service to the public, as you were referring to a fire person doing the same thing. So why can't we do that to the politicians? They get paid for life. When they get done, they get paid for life. Firemen don't.
No, and I don't think they should get retirements. I think politicians should be term limited, and they shouldn't get retirements. Absolutely correct. We're 100%
agreement.
You go
ahead and finish with your answer.
Chief?
Sure. I think it's an interesting suggestion. And actually, one of the things that you contemplate as a fire chief is how to protect your people from a life of service that has some pretty significant consequences at the end of a career. So part of the problem with that is you lose all the institutional knowledge and experience that you gain as a firefighter over time. So the best folks to be, say, an incident commander at a Black Forest fire or a Waldo Canyon fire or just a residential structure fire are folks that have 15 and 20 years of experience, and they've seen a lot, and what they've seen and the experiences that they've had better prepare them to be able to take care of you in a fire situation. So South Metro is also fire-based EMS, so if you have a medical call, we'll come to your house. If you were having a heart attack, you wouldn't want a doctor that had only been on a year. You'd want somebody that had experience. You'd want somebody that had treated multiple patients. It's one of the problems when people leave the fire service after 5 or 10 years is you lose that experience base and that knowledge. It's Fire Department of New York experienced that after 9/11, where they had a huge amount of attrition of folks, and their big concern was that they couldn't replace that experience, and there was a lot of concern over them being able to protect the community, because the new folks coming in, while they're young and healthy, they're also very inexperienced. So I don't know how to do that and address the issue of competency and experience that's necessary to be really good at your job.
Gentlemen, thank you so much for your time. It was a tough, challenging thing, and you really took it like a man. I really appreciate that. And I'll leave you with one last thought that a fire chief told me.
Okay.
And he said, sometimes when you have a person with 20 years experience, what they have is 1 year's of experience 20 times. Thank you so much, gentlemen.
All right, Bruce.
Thank you.
We're not easily offended on this show.
No, not at all.
Hey, we'll take any calls, all right? But, you know, one thing, too. When you really stop and think about it, when you look at really our first responders, police, firemen, while everyone else is running away, they are running into
correct
danger.
No hesitation, no questions asked. Here they come.
I'm totally cool with $58,000, you know, I mean, for what they do. Because, I mean, seriously.
If you can save my house and my taxes go up $100 or $200 a year, God bless you. Go ahead.
Yep.
I'm in.
Absolutely. All right, good deal. And again, thank Bruce for his call, and we love, you know, to get everything out on the table here and be as honest as we can with answers as well. So our phone lines are open, 303-477-5600. So Bob has said before the break, how can we as citizens be better citizens and help out with the fire department. And I asked you before the show, let's just take the traffic side of things. I'm sitting at a light or I'm driving, I hear a siren, I see you're behind me. What do you see the normal person doing in their car?
So that when folks are put in that situation where there are lights and sirens behind them, I think generally the first thing folks think is, am I being pulled over?
Yes.
And so your blood pressure rises and you get sweaty palms and you get nervous. And what we expect if you see a fire truck or an ambulance or a police officer with their lights and sirens on is Colorado law is pull over to the right. So get to the right shoulder if you can. Now, sometimes traffic is bad enough that it's real difficult to pull over anywhere. And in that case, really just stopping and letting the fire apparatus get around you is the best thing to do. Probably more importantly than that, though, is if you're coming up on an auto accident, especially in bad weather, is to pay attention to the road and the people ahead of you as opposed to looky-looing at the auto accident.
Right.
Because when your attention is diverted at what's going on, it's, you know, it's taken away from driving safely. And that's where we see a lot of accidents is people that are coming up on red lights and they're paying more attention to the lights.
Yeah, the second accident. Here's Absolutely. The first and here's the second one.
Absolutely. And a lot of firefighters, a lot of police officers are hurt and some killed, unfortunately, mm-hmm. on the highways because people aren't paying good attention to what they're doing driving. So from a driving perspective, that's one. Just from a general safety perspective, especially this time of year, is it doesn't seem like it's a big wildland fire time of the year. But it is. Mm-hmm. So February, March can be horrendous times, especially if we don't get a lot of snow in February and March. We get the high winds we've seen over the last couple of weeks. So it's really careful. You have to be really careful about outside fires. Also, what's important is folks, if they haven't gotten the message yet, I'll share it with them, is if you've got a fireplace and you're disposing of ashes from your fireplace, they can catch back on fire after hours and sometimes even days. So bagging those up and putting them on your back deck is not a good idea. but we have a lot of deck fires that happen this time of year because people aren't paying good attention to that. So some of it's just simple safety advice, like open fires outside this time of year, any time of the year, mm-hmm. Disposing of ashes in the correct way. Make sure you get your by now, hopefully no one's still got a Christmas tree. They're still trying to limp along.
Sure.
So those are the kind of things that can make a difference.
Tell me some of your strengths for the South Metro Fire Department. Some of your strengths.
So I'm real proud of our people. I think we've got some of the best men and women on the job today. We've got a real strong organization. South Metro is an ISO 1, and I don't know if you're that familiar with ISO. The Insurance Services Office ranks fire departments from 1 to 10 fire suppression rating. So if you're a 10, basically you don't have fire protection. You don't have fire station anywhere near you. If you're a 1, you are best in class. There's only a couple of hundred fire departments that are ISO Class 1 in the United States. South Metro is an ISO Class 1. We're also accredited through the CFAI, which is an international body that accredits fire departments in 10 different discipline areas. To be an ISO 1 and an accredited fire department, there's only about 54 of those in the world, and South Metro is one of them. I'm real proud of that. The only reason that we're able to achieve that sort of success is because we've got really tremendous men and women that serve our communities every day. There are people that want to be there. One of our mottos is to take care of your family like they're our family, and I think people mm-hmm. our people do that every day.
And it does take people. When you run a business, which is what you do, it takes that, but it has to come from the top. The top has to buy in on that to make it all work. So thank you very much, because I live in that area, so I really appreciate you being there. Now, if somebody was to say you had a weakness, what would you classify as the weakness?
Well, I would say right now the fire service in general, there's a couple of weaknesses in Colorado. One of them that we could talk about if you'd want to, and that's the effect of the Gallagher Amendment on fire departments. So what the Gallagher Amendment does is ratchet down the property tax for residences in order to keep it a certain percentage between residential and commercial property values. And the downside of that, especially in communities where they haven't seen quite the amount of increase in home values, is that that ratcheting effect limits their ability to provide for the funding of the fire department. So that's an impact to fire departments all across Colorado, is the impact of Gallagher and Tabor together. I would say for South Metro, one of the big challenges we have is traffic. and anybody that's driven up and down the I-25 corridor, or even E-470, now that they're doing some expansion on E-470, knows that's a big issue.
Yes.
So really getting from the fire station to your home when you call for us is a challenge for us. We also are, it's a very competitive environment for paramedics, and we have a fire-based EMS system, so we have a great number of paramedics, and everybody is vying for those folks. And so it's a pretty competitive environment to attract and retain the best people. We do the best job we can of that, but I would say in Colorado, there again, there's a lot of competition for...
And that's hard to do because there's so many people moving in.
Absolutely.
You have to have more AMTs to handle them.
Yes.
It's just creating a problem.
And you've identified another issue for us, and that's just keeping up with growth.
Yes.
Sure. You're listening to Haystack Help Radio, a special edition of Your Money Matters, brought to you by Affordable Interest Mortgage. Bob Baker's with us. He is the fire chief for South Metro Fire and Rescue. And again, if you've got any questions, we'll take your calls, 303-477-5600. When we come back, let's talk a minute about what we should do in our own homes. You know, we think there's a fire. What do we do?
Sure.
Because I think you see a lot of people make some mistakes in trying to gather different things, do whatever. You need to get, I guess, family and pets. A lot of people concerned about pets, too, getting them out. Of course, I'm a huge pet lover as well. But let's talk about some of the steps that we should do, to be of help there to our families.
Absolutely.
We'll be right back.
Littleton Heating and Air Conditioning is proud of their 45 years of HVAC service to Littleton, Highlands Ranch, and Denver metro area. Littleton Heating and Air Conditioning is your Lennox and Carrier expert heating and air conditioning contractor. They are proud to offer the finest heating, air conditioning, and indoor air quality products with prompt and professional customer service and satisfaction. Call today and mention Haystack Help Radio and save $25 off any repairs or $100 off your furnace installation. Call 303-798-3880. That's 303-798-3880 for your appointment today. Littleton Heating and Air, A-plus members of the Better Business Bureau and official Haystack Help registered company.
Ladies, I know you're tired of walking into the local gun store and seeing the same old thing. So let me tell you about Rampart Firearms. Just a quarter mile up Highway 67 off of Santa Fe and Sedalia, you will find a great selection of guns, ammo, tactical, and personal defense weapons. And if you or your spouse love to hunt, Rampart Firearms is a great stop for all of your hunting needs. Shotguns, rifles, pistols, anything from predator hunting to your next big game trip. Head to Rampart Firearms at the foot of the Rockies. Open 6 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., and you will only pay a 4% tax on your purchase. RampartFirearms.com, 720-468-0050. That's 720-468-0050.
I was hurt in a car accident. The bills were piling up and my insurance company was giving me the runaround. I didn't know what to do, but then I called a lawyer I saw on TV. That lawyer had all the tools and the knowledge to get me 1.2 mil...
Whoa. When you're hurt in an accident, you need Kevin Flesh of Flesh Law, a lawyer that's going to take your case seriously and not treat you like some get-rich-quick scheme. Serious car accidents are traumatic and can completely disrupt your life. Kevin Flesh has the integrity to help you get your life back on track. He will fight for you to get what you deserve, but he won't treat you like a lottery ticket. After you've been in an accident, call Kevin Flesh of Flesh Law at 303-806-8886 and make sure you will get someone who will do the right thing and get your life back.
Don't fall for gimmick ads when choosing your insurance coverage. Group Insurance Analyst has been Colorado's insurance superstore since 1984, where customers can compare and shop for all of their insurance needs. At GIA Insurance, their brokers have no allegiance to any particular health, auto, or home insurance company. Take advantage of their experience, expertise, and exceptional client service. For your free quote, call today at 303-423-0162. That's 303-423-0162. Visit their website, e-gia.com, or stop by their office at 44th and Garrison Street in Wheat Ridge. Group Insurance Analyst is an official Haystack Help registered company.
Got a question for the station? Email info@CrawfordBroadcasting.com. Now back to Haystack Help Radio.
Welcome back to Haystack Help Radio. My name is Scott Watley. Once again, we appreciate you being with us. Kurt Rogers with us from Affordable Interest Mortgage. And our special guest in studio, Bob Baker. And he's the fire chief at South Metro Fire Rescue. And also Kristen is with us. We're going to try to get...
We're going to try to get her to
Kristen
talk.
On before
she's
the end here.
In the corner. Head
of communications. So, hey, it's always good to have a woman over communications, right?
Absolutely.
Right. Oh, without
Absolutely,
a doubt.
Absolutely, yeah. So... I want to go back to something real quick, and I hopefully Bruce did not feel like we rushed him off air, but we were up against a break there. But I want to go back to he made a closing comment, and I just want to get your input, Bob, on his closing comment there about the 20 years experience.
Sure, and I really appreciated what he was trying to get at. I think what he was saying is that in the fire service, if your 20 years is just reliving the first year, you're not getting better.
Correct.
You're just adding time to a pension. That does a disservice to our community, and I couldn't agree with him more.
Sure.
So one of the real strict tenets of South Metro, and a pet peeve for me as the fire chief is, and I tell our folks when they're in Recruit Academy, you have to be better the last day of your job than you were the day before, than you were the day before that. So we want lifelong learners. If you take an oath of office that you're going to serve our community and take care of our people as best as you possibly can, the only way to do that is to continue to evolve as a firefighter, EMT, paramedic, to be better and better at your job. If all you're doing is taking up space, then you really need to find another place to work than South Metro. And today's fire service isn't built that way anymore. And I'm not saying it was built that way, built that way 30 years ago or 50 years ago, but certainly in today's world, you have to be as good as you can be because it could mean the difference between your life and death as well, and the people and the crew that you work with and the citizens that you're responding to.
Right. So, Mitch, before the break, what are proper steps? You know, we smell smoke, we actually physically see a fire in our home, whatever. What are the first few steps to do?
So let me address that even prior to that.
Okay.
So the first steps that folks should do that are really critical is make sure you have working smoke detectors in your home so that they can alert you to an emergency situation if you're sleeping or if you're not. That's really important. So changing your batteries every time we change from falling back to springing forward,
right,
and change of time.
That's happening this weekend.
Sunday. That's happening this weekend.
That's right.
So it's fortuitous, right? So that's critical. I would say direct answer to your question, if you feel like you have a fire in your home, the worst thing you can do is spend a bunch of time investigating it and or try to put it out yourself. So if you feel like you have an emergency, dial 911. We can always turn around and go home. But if you delay our response by 2, 3, or 5 minutes while you investigate what's going on, sometimes that can make the difference between us being able to take a fire that's in an incipient stage or a small stage, put it out with very little damage to your home, to being in a situation where we're fighting a defensive fire because it's gotten out of control, because it's gotten a head start
right.
on us. So don't be afraid to call 911. That's what we're there for. And we're always happy to come out to your house, check on you, make sure everything's okay, and head back to the firehouse.
When the fires that happen at home, what's the number one thing, besides the guy putting the ashes in a bag and putting them on his deck, inside the house that starts a fire?
So I'd say the cooking fires are probably our most frequent form of ignition causes.
Right.
Fires on a stove, left unattended, those account for an awful lot of our
candles.
Responses.
Much anymore?
Yeah, not so much anymore. Yeah. Probably because there are LED candles all over the place.
Yeah. And they look like it's
light one, right?
Right. Yeah. What about, is there a space heater that you would recommend?
Oh, gosh.
Because every time I hear about them, this fire was caused by a space heater, and that one. So it makes you almost afraid to get one, but there's times you need them.
Sure. I couldn't give you a recommendation on a specific manufacturer, at least not off the top of my head. Luckily, with the internet, you can do some research on your own to find out which is the safest model that you can get. Certainly one that if it tips over or if it has some problem, it shuts itself off. Best thing to do is to not have one.
Right.
And especially if you've got animals that are unattended around a space heater. There are a lot of occurrences of folks that, especially out east on the eastern plains where they have like chicken coop fires, because they put a heat lamp in a chicken coop and then there's also chickens that are in the chicken coop as well.
Chicken.
Yeah. So I would say I don't have a firm recommendation there, but I do a little bit of internet searching on that.
Yeah. And extension cords are always something that seem to can cause problems.
They can. The best thing to do is get a breaker. If you're going to have to run an extension cord in your home, do one with a breaker extension cord that's built into the extension cord.
So it shuts off?
Yep.
If there's any kind of ground?
Yep. Yep. Not overloading circuits are important. All the newer homes now have GFI protection. That's an electrical code that has come into place here recently. But for some of the more established communities that where your home's been around for 30 or 40 years or sometimes 50 or 60 years, not the case. And so you want to be real careful about overloading circuits and overloading extension cords.
Right. You mentioned earlier, you know, we talk about the training and all that goes into this. What are some of the... let's talk about the training process. Somebody gets hired, go through the hiring process. From day one to training, how long is it till they're, quote, a member of the fire department?
Sure. And I think that there's a prelude to that, too, and that's getting hired on. So a typical hiring process for us includes a written examination that is pretty significant, where it's going to test your reading ability and psychological ability, mathematics, your mechanical aptitude. So you're going to take a written exam. You're going to take a physical ability test, which is very difficult to pass. If you pass both of those, you're going to go to at least one oral board and likely two oral boards. Then you're going to get a psychological exam from a psychiatrist. It's pretty significant process just to get to the point where you go through a recruit academy. And then a recruit academy is 16 weeks. At least 40 hours a week, more like 50 hours a week.
Teaching you all about fire.
Teaching you all about firefighting, yes. And before you even start that, you have to have your EMT in your state of Colorado EMT, which is a long process in and of itself. So before you even make application to South Metro, you're going to have to be an EMT. Then the 16-week academy. Then you've got a year probationary period where every single month you're tested on a skill set. You have to make it through 12 months of that. And then the real education begins.
The real world.
Yeah.
You get to get out there and see how that works.
Once you get all the gear that normally is required, what extra weight is that usually putting on a person?
So when you've got personal protective equipment, which is just your bunker gear, and then you add on SCBA to that, and if you're taking any gear with you, which typically our firefighters do, they'll take tools, forcible entry tools, maybe a high-rise pack, you're pushing 80 pounds.
Wow.
On top of your own body weight. And that can be a little bit deceiving as well, because it's 80 pounds, but it's not like you're putting a pack on in a pair of shorts and a T-shirt.
Sure.
It's 80 pounds that restricts your ability to really, for your body to
breathe. It's all over your body.
Yeah, yes.
So it makes it tough to climb ladders.
Yeah, there's a really great video out there. If you Google J.J. Watt, you know J.J.
Oh, yeah,
Watt,
sure.
The football player. So his dad's a volunteer firefighter out in Wisconsin. If you Google that, you'll see a really neat video where J.J. Watt goes through firefighter training. And at the end of it, he says, I had no idea that this was going to stress me the way that it has, and I'm a professional athlete. Watch that video. It's about 5 or 6 minutes long. It's real illuminating as far as what we require our folks to do.
Do you get many people to come out of the military?
Absolutely.
Why? Because they have a lot of that. They're used to that kind of stuff and that discipline.
Yeah, it's the discipline, and they also have a desire to serve.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we want to just stop and thank everyone right now for their service with that, because I'm telling you, it's a big deal and something of really, truly giving of themselves. And you look at all the things recently, of course, in our state with the police shootings and all the things. I mean, no matter what end you're in. You're in with fire or police, whatever. You walk out that morning, you never know what that day is going to hold for you.
Yep.
You're listening to Haystack Help Radio. We got to take a short break. We'll be back with more right after this.
If you're looking for great deals on outdoor equipment and clothing, we've got you covered. Hi, this is Bill Paddock, owner of the Outdoorsman's Attic, your outdoor gear consignment headquarters. You'll save 20, 30, 40, even 50% on previously owned outdoor gear for the fisherman, hunter, and camper. We also sell live bait, firearms, and ammo. If you're doing a little spring cleaning, bring in your gear to the Outdoorsman's Attic. We'll sell it for you and put cash in your pocket. You can also pick up your hunting and fishing licenses right here at the store. Your one-stop shop for all your outdoor gear needs is the Outdoorsman's Attic, located at 2650 West Hampton Avenue in Sheridan, Colorado. 303-781-3626. That's 303-781-3626. Or visit us online at outdoorsmansattic.com. Mention Sportsman's of Colorado and receive 20% off all your outdoor clothing.
Are you well-positioned today with your current financial advisors? Or should you consider switching advisors? And if so, how can you find the right one? To help people like you, Dot Mechtenberg offers a free second opinion service. Let Dot help you achieve your retirement goals. Call Dot Mechtenberg today at 303-940-7807. That's 303-940-7807 or visit dotmechtenberg.com. Securities and advisory services offered through Genios Wealth Management Incorporated, member FINRA, SIPC.
Hi, this is Scott Watley. Let me tell you what I love about Stack Optical. They are truly one of the last optician-owned, family-owned optical stores. At Stack Optical, you can be confident you'll receive personal attention. For over 50 years, Alan Stack has shown he really cares about making his customers happy. Stack Optical also has a beautiful new location at 2233 South Monaco Parkway in Denver. Free and easy up-close parking. Stack Optical has an on-site eyeglass production lab. Whether you need office eyewear or a new set of shooting or golf glasses, Stack Optical has the solution with the Stack Sport Pack. Give them a call today and ask for their $69 eye exam, 303-321-1578. That's 303-321-1578. Your eyes and vision are one of the most important things in life. I'm confident at Stack Optical, you'll see the difference. That's 303-321-1578, stackoptical.com.
Lynn Lyle Chevrolet is having its year-end clearance sale on all new 2017 Chevrolets. Other Chevy dealers are offering 20% off. We're going to top that. We're offering 30% off on new Chevrolets. Lynn Lyle Chevrolet, I-225 in East Colfax, or on the web at LynnLyleChevy.com.
Rush to Reason with John Rush, weekdays from 3 to 7 on KLZ 560.
Welcome back to Haystack Help Radio. We've got a few more minutes left here with Bob Baker. If you're just joining us, he is the fire chief of South Metro Fire Rescue, and we have enjoyed our conversation today. Again, we've got a few minutes left, but our lines are still open, 303-477-5600. If you've got any questions or comments, and our show is brought to you by Affordable Interest Mortgage, as always. So, Bob, let's talk about the interaction with fire and policemen. Seems like every time you see a fire truck or see a police car, there's a fire truck not too far behind. So a lot of times those are joint calls, I guess we should call it. So how does all that work? When are there times where, you know, fire isn't and dispatched? And I mean, how does that work?
Sure. So a lot of the incidents we respond to involve law enforcement as well. And one of the things we work real hard to do is develop a strong relationship with law enforcement so that on the larger calls, like recently we had that tanker spill on I-25 that shut down I-25.
Remember that?
Where we worked pretty well, actually really well, with Greenwood Village PD and other law enforcement agencies. So we try and establish those relationships early so that when bad things happen, it's not the first time you're meeting folks.
Sure.
One of the things that we do at South Metro is we have a special weapons and tactics team of paramedics that support both Arapahoe County and Douglas County Sheriff's officers that are on the SWAT team. So their job is to make sure that they can medically care for the Douglas and Arapahoe County officers if they were to happen to get shot or hurt on an incident that involved their SWAT medic team or their SWAT team.
Or is fire department, are you guys allowed to carry
The folks on our SWAT team are allowed to carry weapons. Yes,
okay.
They are.
Okay. But it's just normal every day. Most of the time, that's not part of your apparel.
Yeah, no, we don't. No, you won't probably find any firefighters showing up with a sidearm.
Okay.
Well, yeah, that probably. But the reason they're allowed to carry is because they're closer to the action. If somebody's hurt, they got to go get them into that.
They do, and they actually have to go through the training to be deputized. So it's not just that we're throwing them in the melee and hoping that they can medically care for
them. This isn't a weekend course.
Yes. Yeah.
No. They actually go through post training with the sheriff's academies and shoulder to shoulder with the sheriff's officers.
That's a serious commitment for a fireman.
Yeah, it really is. It's probably one of those commitments that as a fire chief makes me a little bit nervous and anxious, only because we've had a couple of pretty significant events recently with Dan Bright being shot in the town of Parker, and then more recently the firefighter or the sheriff's deputy that was killed. And our folks were in both of those situations and in harm's way. And typically in the fire service, you don't sign up to get shot at.
Mm-hmm.
But these folks are really going above and beyond. So beyond their job as firefighters and paramedics, they're also deputized law enforcement folks that are protecting our sheriff's deputies. That builds a lot of camaraderie between fire and police. And we have those same relationships with our municipal police police departments as well, like Town of Parker and Greenwood Village PD.
So, being a fireman in South Metro, some of the things you might do to help with all these areas that they're dealing in, ensure their safety?
So there's an awful lot of things that we're doing now, everything from making sure that our folks have ballistic vests when they're in difficult situations, especially with law enforcement. Probably the biggest push right now is to try to keep them safe as far as contracting cancer. That's a big issue in the fire service right now. And we've got several of our firefighters at South Metro that have job-related cancer that are still on the job, and some of them that have retired out with job-related cancer. So the issue for us there is that unlike the fires from 50 years ago when mostly what was burning was wood, everything that's burning now are plastics and
chemicals,
carcinogens, right?
A lot of it.
So really what we're trying to do is set fires up like a giant decontamination zone. So when our firefighters come out of a structure fire, they've got a second set of bunker gear that they can change into, so they're not using the same carcinogen-filled bunkers to wear for the rest of the shift and the next shift. So every firefighter gets a second set of bunker gear. There's a decontamination zone that we have. Everybody's getting wiped down to make sure that the transfer of carcinogens generally can happen either through the skin, they can happen through the lungs. We make sure that they keep their SCBA on, protecting them from all of the products of combustion. Make sure we wipe them down to make sure that we do the best job that we can so that they're not taking
as much.
Taking as much and taking that home with them.
Yeah.
Into their into their homes, right. Into their cars.
Real quick before we end up today. All of us are driving around. We see an accident. Maybe you're real close to it. You saw it happen. Maybe you're one of the first people there that can get to them to see if they need help. Any suggestions on what we as just normal citizens and without special training in EMT stuff should do and should not do if we go up to an accident, and someone's in a car and we can tell they're hurt bad?
Sure. So situational situational awareness is really key there. The first thing that I would say, though, is don't hesitate to dial 911. There's so many instances where folks don't. They want to do something themselves, which I think is laudable, right? You want to do something yourself before you activate the emergency response system and 911. So that's key. Mm-hmm. Situational awareness is key as well. So if you come upon an accident on I-25 and folks are driving at 75 miles an hour right next to you, that's not a situation you want to be in. I would say just be very careful about when you're not trained,
sure.
What you decide that you're going to do to help somebody, I wouldn't discourage you from helping someone, but just be aware of your surroundings. and make sure you keep yourself safe. Worst thing in the world would be to have somebody that's injured and then, and then somebody else gets injured along with them, right?
Yeah. Now, we had talked about it earlier. We're in the fire season. You said February and March, and it's going to carry on probably for the next 6 to 7 months. Is there anything else you can kind of tell the listeners that what they might try to consider before they go out as the next 6 months happen to prevent? Because we've not got enough snow this year. There's not going to be enough water coming down.
Yeah, especially during the 4th of July season. So a lot of municipalities are going to ban fireworks, and folks still want their kids to have a nice 4th of July. You got to be real careful about that, real careful about open burning. Most fires, wildland fires, are accidental cause because people are just not paying good attention to what they're doing. Mm-hmm. So if you're camping, open fires, if you know, if they're banned, don't. If they're not banned, be very, very careful. Discarding everything from cigarettes to anything else that's lighted outside of your car as you're driving down the road can be disastrous.
Yeah.
All of those things, just most of them are common sense. But especially around the 4th of July, is enjoy the holiday, and there's going to be no enjoying the holiday if things are burning around you.
Sure.
So you want to be real careful.
Maybe we'll do this again, Kurt, before July 4th.
Matter of fact, I think that are we good with that, Christian?
Yes.
You sure?
Yes.
Okay. Well, we'll set this up again before July 4th.
And we're going to twist Kristen's arm next time to
get her to speak
as well. All right. Well, Bob, this has been great, man. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
And thank you for your service, man, you know, and all that you've done.
34 years. Thank you.
Keep us safe. That's a long time. So good deal. Good job, Kurt, on this. You need to do any disclosure, sir?
Just a quick one. 7400 East Arapahoe Road, Suite 109, Centennial, Colorado. 720-895-0500. NMLS 298191. We are regulated by the Division of Real Estate and an equal credit lender.
I want to thank you for being with us today for Haystack Help Radio. Be sure and check out our website, haystackhelp.com, and our helpline is always open, 303-333-HELP, 303-333-4357. Hope everyone has a great day, and leave it right here on KLZ 560.
Views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of Crawford Broadcasting, the station, management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.